Well, we get the hour underway by welcoming to the show a talented guitarist, singer, songwriter, producer. He's a five-time Grammy Award winner who through the years has been the only continuous serving member of the band Toto all the way through. He's worked with people like Boz Scaggs, Michael Jackson, Ringo Starr, literally everybody in the business. And today he drops his brand new album featuring Ringo, Joe Williams, and other friends. It's called I Found the Sun Again. We are so happy to be joined this afternoon by the great Steve Lukather.
How's it going, man?
Just, well, you know, as good as anybody can be doing, given the times we're in. How about you?
Well, I'd say the same. It's been a very interesting year.
Yeah, to say the least. But
I'm 63 years old. I ain't never seen anything like this. It's absolutely mind-numbing, to be quite honest with you. But let's not talk about all that, because everybody's talking about all that. I don't really. I'm not a public political person. You know, I'm an old hippie, man. I'm a peace and love guy, man.
And
I've got an allergy, and I'm just, you know, got to go to the doctor. You know, I'm scared to go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
So even though the doctor's the ear, nose, and throat doctor's the safest place to go, and you know, we're all afraid of our shadows, man. And this is the scariest part of it all.
Well, I know this because I read it in the book that you're not a superstar, poser, pretty boy musician.
No. I wear jeans, t-shirts, do Pendletons, and, you know, I'm not like fashion. I'm not a fashion maven, if that's what you mean.
Well, I want to talk about the new music, which is so terrific. The new album called I Found the Sun Again. Yeah, well, I've heard the cuts that are available out there and can't wait to hear the whole thing. Love the song and love the video for Run to Me. Man, it's such a great and uplifting song.
Well, thanks, man. That was actually written for Ringo's 80th birthday in July.
July
7th. And we did it in one day in my backyard with Joseph Williams, the director, and sang it with me. Co-wrote it and arranged it, and we did it. And he loved it so much he wanted to play on it, so we put him on it, filmed it, and he said, I'm going to put it out now. I mean, it's the weirdest tune on the record because it's a pop song, and my record is not a pop record.
Well, it was great to see Ringo on there, and then it was great to literally see Joseph Williams pop up.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Well, Joe Williams is one of the few of the eight people that I allow in my house for the past year. He is a newborn grandson. I have an autistic 10-year-old son, you know, Ringo's 80. He's one of my close friends. I see him. We talk all the time, you know. I mean, so I've kept my gene pool of people that I see. I don't go out. We have an assistant that gets our food, and I see my kids, and that's it.
Well, love that song.
Once,
and the other
once in a while, I do something, but I do it outside, and I have to do it really safely.
Right.
I get tested every week. I mean, this is not something that around with at this point. Everybody has to worry about this until we get it under control, and I don't know when that's going to be.
No.
I'm hoping that we get it controlled by summer, you know?
I hope so. The other song I've heard from the album is great, and great bluesy sound. Serpent Soul, is that more like what the rest of the album sounds like?
No, man, that's like a tribute to Little Feet kind of a thing, you know? We just jammed and played. And the song is about just evil people. You know, the evil people that pretend to be nice. And I got help writing that. Stan Lynch from the Heartbreakers and Jeff Babko, my co-writer, myself.
And you got a little help, too, from David Page chiming in as well.
Yeah, Page played on the whole album, man. He played Hammond and piano. I wanted him on organic keyboards, man. I didn't use very much synthesizers. I mean, when they're there, they're very obvious. So, and they were played live. They were not overdubbed. You know, we had Mellotrons, we had, you know, a couple little synth things, but mostly it was like Wurlitzer, Rhodes, you know, piano, Hammond. I wanted to play it live and see if we could do it old school without rehearsals, without, you know, like, here's the chart, let's run the chart down. You know, I added a couple of some of my favorite 70s cover songs that are obscure to sort of set the pace, because I really wanted the record to be like a 70s record, the way it was recorded, but I wanted a 2020 sound.
Yeah, you did a little little Traffic, a little Robin Trower, and a great Joe Walsh song.
That's music from my childhood. The people forgot that people used to jam in the studio and put it on a record. Al Cooper, you know, Hendrix. They used to just put these jams on records where people were interplaying, and it was, you know, within the context of a song, but there was room to move. And like a lot of times, like, we didn't discuss it; it just happened. And that's the magic. That's the magic you can't program. So I wanted to see if, A, I could still do it and keep all my solos without fixing them and overdubbing them and dulling them up and going, well, this is just how I play. I'm not trying to compete with my other guitar player friends because I'd lose, you know. I'm like, I'm the old guy now, you know. There's a six-year-old kid that plays better guitar than me in Japan somewhere. <you know?
laughs> But it sounds like the recording experience was a hell of a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. I did the whole album in 8 days.
Wow.
Top gun. We cut the rhythm tracks, do a little overdub if anybody heard something, a double the guitar part or whatever, and then I do the lead vocal. Next song, next day.
And this is great.
Alive. You know, nobody had to fix anything. Nobody had to go redo the parts or let me put it through this or put it through that. And I put a nice little delay on my voice and made it sound big, and so it sounds huge. I wrote it in the right key, and I sang it. I sang it a couple of times. They put it together, and that was that's the thing. Joseph did a few background vocals for me. And that's the whole record, man. It's as honest of the things I've ever put out. Nothing about it. There's witnesses, so I'm not lying. There's footage of, too. There's some footage
right.
that Brent Carpenter took of Low Spark of High Hill Boys, the take. It was live. It's 100% live. All I have to do is stand in front of a green screen and sing the lyrics, and then you have a video, you know.
I understand, too, that share of the proceeds are going to our friend Ed Asner's Family Center for Autism.
Well, my son is autistic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want us to make sure that they get a percentage of the, you know, the profits.
And also being released.
I want to make people aware of it so they can donate on their own, you know, because autism has hit the world hard. And for the first time, you know, every family has been hit by it. Somebody knows somebody. Their next door neighbor's kid has it or something, you know. Wasn't like that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Joe Williams releasing his album, Denizen Tenant, the same day as yours. And you guys, you both played on each other's albums. We're a big fan of Joe's, too, because his great-grandmother, great-grandparents owned a store here in Bangor, Maine.
That could very well be true, man. I don't know. I really don't know, but anything's possible. See, I did my album in 8 days, and Joe spent months, you know, meticulously going through his album like, Joe, you know, Peter Gabriel. So he's blossomed as a Renaissance man, as a producer, as a writer, as an artist, as a filmmaker, as a creative person. And he's just one of my best friends. He's really super smart and well-read and not crazy, you know.
I want to talk about some of the early stuff. I loved your book, The Gospel According to Luke.
Thanks, and man.
February 9th, 64, a lot of us kids all watching the same thing, Ed Sullivan. And for you with the Beatles, it was one song in particular that made you think you might want to do this for a living, right?
Oh, I saw him standing there. The solo on that, I just wore it out. I was able to tell George that. He became a friend of mine later in the early 90s. Those moments.
A lot of people want to be rock and roll stars. You wanted to be a session musician. You looked up to guys like, you know, Tommy.
Well, I mean, you know, when I first started out, I wanted to be the Beatles. Of course, everybody wanted to be the Beatles. You know, we were kids. But then when I got into high school, I found out about session musicians through the Picaro family, and then that became a much more viable possibility as opposed to being a rock star is like, you know, needle in a haystack, right? My parents were like, well, you could possibly become a real musician if you work behind the scenes, you know. You got to know your shit, though. So then my father made me take lessons, and it's the smartest thing he ever did. I was 14. I've been playing for 7 years. So I could play. I had a really good ear. I could pick it up on records and stuff like that. But my teacher had to teach me how to Mary Had a Little Lamb reading-wise, yeah.
You mentioned the Porcaros. How did they change your life, meeting that family?
Well, they changed everything. I met Steve. I met Jeff. I met Mike. I met the whole family. Then I met Paige. I was 15 years old. Life-changing.
And you got some great opportunities as a result. One of the first big ones was the chance to play with Boz Scaggs on his album.
That was a big one.
And then go on tour with Boz as well.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of my life. Boz was real good to me, man. Let me play on his record. And featured me live, called me the kid and all that shit. It was weird to have a 19-year-old kid playing guitar on the road, you know? Now it's commonplace, but then it was weird.
Well, when Toto started, man, the critics absolutely hammered you because, I don't know, because
yeah,
it was good.
For 45 years, man. Got but, thick skin.
Well, the critics don't matter as much as the fans who have loved your music for more than
well,
four decades.
You know, we got 3 billion streams. We were one of the most streamed bands during this lockdown. Scary. You become successful during disasters. It doesn't have the same feel, you know.
You wrote one of the biggest hits for the band. Can you talk a little bit about the creation of I Won't Hold You Back?
Well, it was a song I was writing during the Turnback sessions. And I thought it was too soft for us. And Paige kept going, finish that song, man. It's a good song. You know, I put it together and was playing it, and we were doing Total 4, and I said, let's cut that song, man. And I wrote the bridge on the spot because I didn't have a bridge. And that became the soaring guitar solo. While we were at the session, it was like, you know, I started playing on piano, and then Paige came in, and I said, Paige, you play this. You play this better than me. It's just really slow, and you'll put the finesse into it. So he played my part better than I would have played it.
What was it you said to Paige about the odds of Africa becoming a hit?
Oh, we buried it on the album, the last cut on the album. You know, we didn't think it was a hit. We thought it was a great production thing. You know, we made the whole record before we heard the lyrics. And the lyrics were like, wow, okay. Fantasy song, Dave. You've never been to Africa.
Let's get Serengeti in the lyrics. How do we do that?
That was Dave and Jeff, man. You know, that wasn't me. I mean, it's become kitschy now, you know, but, you know, it was a fantasy song. It wasn't about, you know, it was written in 1980, man, 81, you know. You have to remember that. Things were different then.
What was it like working with Quincy Jones?
Great, man. I started working with Q when I was 22. I did the Dude album. It was right after Off the Wall and right before Thriller. And that was the first time I worked with him. I did that whole album, and he said, I want you to work on the next Michael Jackson album. I said, fuck, let's do it. That'd be great. And we did a whole bunch of that record. So I've done a lot of stuff in my life.
Yeah, you have, absolutely. You also, and you write in the book about the loss of your best friend, Miguel Ferrer. What a tremendous talent, and you guys were, it seems like, brothers.
We were brothers. He was my soul brother, man. I miss him every day. That's how I met Clooney, you know. He was George Clooney's his cousin. His mother was Rosemary Clooney. His brother's Nick Clooney. He was George's father. So he was cousin Georgie before he was world-famous George Clooney.
Well, and you would just hang out, and Rosie would give you a hard time whenever you did something she didn't think you should do?
Rubby. I loved her. I adored her. We spent 20 Christmases together. She'd sing White Christmas with Michael Feinstein playing piano on George Gershwin's piano and, you know, in Beverly Hills, having caviar and my kids growing up and all that, and with all their wonderful family, you know, and we all love each other. And when Miggy died, part of me died with him. It was really a tough one for me. Lost a lot of friends in the last couple of years, bro. Really close soul brothers, man, that were like, some you knew, some were really famous, some weren't, some were high school friends. You know, some were just people I knew, people I worked with. Sad.
Yeah, well, you know, you're only a few
it
months older than me.
Older, man.
It is. Like, it's not for the faint of heart, being 62,
you know,
63.
I lived through the war. That's the way I look at it. I lived through the war. And now I'm sitting back and going, wow, man, I was trying way too hard. Now I have a son who's 33 and, you know, starting out in the record business real hard, you know, and now he's me. I'm going, oh, God, I was so wound up. He's wound up tight, you know. I'm wound up tight, you know. Now I'm not wound up tight. This year off has been a blessing for me emotionally and spiritually. Fortunately, I'm not worried about if my house is going to be taken away or something. I was able to take a year off and find myself again and find out who I really am and let go of the anger and resentments of the past lawsuits and unfortunate endings of certain relationships and starting over again. Me and Joe getting really tight and deciding, hey, we both got solo albums all coming out on the same label. Let's just tour together. And then all of a sudden David goes, we paid for the name, use the name. you know, pay the women and be done with it.
Hey, when you were a kid,
we definitely separated with Dogs of Oz, Toto, Dogs of Oz to a different band. It's still Joseph, me, and X, and Warren. And the band sounds great. The live stream went really, really well, to the point where they want to make it a DVD. So we're going to put it out, I guess, before we go on tour this summer. I'm hoping we go on tour this summer. We have a whole tour booked, and tickets are selling, and shit, you know.
And you've been touring, too, for many years, off and on with Ringo and the All-Star
Band.
I've been
touring 300 days a year for the last 10 years, and it was like 1,000 miles an hour running into a brick wall. You're done. It's over. So I had to regroup, and first it was like great vacation, you know, and then we did that. And then, fortunately, I fell in love and met a wonderful woman who's been cooks incredible and looks after me and takes care of me. And I've been writing and doing creative stuff with Joe. Joe's been doing we're working on my new video for a new single for the title cut. That's going to come out, you know, so we're just kind of putting it all out. We're changing. We have to move and change with the changing music industry. You know, we play to our audiences. We have a big audience, fortunately, to keep us alive. But I think these records are going to cross over because I think they're honest records. I mean, everybody's been hearing the same record for a long time. These records don't sound like everybody else's records.
And do you put less pressure on yourself now when you're making a record?
No, I put more pressure on myself because I said, this is it. I'm doing it. I'm not going to spend 6 months in the record tweaking this. Let's see if we can do it if we're good enough, like we think we are. We're big badasses. We should be able to do this. But all the kids can't do that now. They can't not rehearse and show up and just look at a chart, go over it once, make a few changes, rehearse a difficult section or whatever, and then cut the tape and it's take two, and then you overdub the vocals and it's done. Name me a band that can do that now and have it sound the way my record sounds. Yeah, I mixed it a day, so it's 16 days in total. 18 days to cut it, 8 days to mix it, and master it, and it was done. Joseph spent months and months, because he was the main guy, and he hired other players, and he did all this other stuff, meticulously casting each song. I was more like, let's put a band together and make a record. Jam. But jam within the context of songs.
You love blues, you love jazz, you love all kinds of music. Yeah. What's the state of music today? Popular music, rock music, whatever we want to call it.
You know, to be honest with you, man, the music that young people listen to, it just doesn't hit me, you know? I mean, it's not as bad or anything like that. There's some great new music out there I hear once in a while. My son's band, Lavara, is just killer. They got a brand new album coming out in May. And it's melodic power. Roxy Perry singing on it. I mean, it's powerful stuff. He's become a major talent. You know, I'm really proud of him. We'll see what happens there. He's going to get beat up because of my last name, you know. It's like, you know, so, you know, people that don't like me, all of a sudden, they just immediately don't like him because of me. It's not fair, really, you know. Or they, you know, but it's helped them, too. So, I mean, I can't say it, you know. It's part of the game.
I have to ask you about something from the book. Did you and do you still have a Toto bidet?
I do. The best toilet ever. Well, come on. I would have to have one, wouldn't I?
Oh, if they made one, yes, you'd have to, no question.
They should give them to me. I should be their spokesman.
I read, too, you're friends with J.J. Abrams. We love him because he was smart enough to marry a girl from Maine.
Ah, lovely girl, too. No, I'm not close friends with him. We're friends. Yeah, we vacationed in Turks and Caicos a few years together, had Christmas together, and became buds, man. I think the world of him. He's one of the nicest guys ever. Really super smart, and obviously his talent speaks for itself, you know. I have an eclectic roster of friends.
Well, you do. One of them we had on our show just a few weeks ago. Actually, he introduced you to Miggy, I believe, Billy Mumy.
Mumy, yeah. One of my oldest, dearest friends of 45 years. I love Mumy, man. I talk to him every day. We have a little thread, you know.
Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. I Found the Sun Again, officially coming out on February 26th. It is so great to have new Luke music out there. And
all right, man. Thanks a lot for your support, bud.
You great. It's great to talk with you. Be well. Hopefully we'll get you back out on the road this summer.
Bud, man, listen, we're moving ahead with plans as if it's going to go on. If by God... awful chance we can't do it this year, we'll do it next year. Well, I'm not going away. We're not dead.
That's
awesome. Tell me when. We're going to add stuff to the set. We're going to do solo stuff from our albums during the Toto set. So, like, we don't have to do solo tours anymore. We can do tours and do solo stuff and do Toto stuff, deep cuts, do the hits, play the stuff, whatever, with a killer band. I mean, just trying to keep the music alive. It's not Toto from 1978. It can't be. Cats are dead or retired. I just want to play. Joe and I want to work. I'm not dead yet. I still got music to make. No, it's not the same Toto. I wish it was, but it's not. It can't be. 15 times. I'm the only guy that's changed with it all 15 times.
Well, we're glad to see you still making great music, Luke, and appreciate you making time for us today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, mate. Well, till next time.
Steve Lukather. Again, we recorded that a few weeks back. Had to hold on to it. Luke's folks asked if we wait until the album is out, and it's out officially today. I Found the Sun Again. What a life, huh? You think of the people he's played with. You know, after his parents said, look, you're not going to be a Beatle. You just, but maybe if you practice hard, maybe you can be a musician and get some session work.
Yeah. You know, and then spend a decade touring with a Beatle.
With a Beatle and being friends with another Beatle. Man, what a ride. Steve Lukather here on Downtown with us.